Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Obviously, what's happening here with this thing and Alex Cora's ties to it now, I think the MLB is going to kind of come down hard on these guys. And my guess is whatever Alex Cora gets, I mean, you can guess A.J. Hinch is probably in the same boat. Now, the concern then becomes, is everybody going to be suspended? Like, are they going to keep finding out more and more?
We talked about this when it happened. Does that mean Carlos Beltran is part of this now?
Probably should be.
Suspended from the Mets? I think Black Skater has a pretty good definition of what makes a black movie from Twitch. Says, I think it's when the black dude wins.
When the black dude wins.
Yeah.
So we're saying Rocky 1 is a black movie.
Right.
Rocky 2.
White movie.
Is a white movie. Rocky 3, white movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Rocky 4 and 5 have only white guys.
Yeah, so they're white movies.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number 3 on a Tuesday, 713-780-ESPN. Your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can comment on the Twitch. Miss the first 2 hours, you miss some of that. And it's all going to be available on podcastarena.com. Been a fun show today. Plenty of sports early, plenty of non-sports late. And a bunch of people asking for hockey plays. I had a couple tonight, but...
You're an unstoppable force.
I am, but I'm not... The problem is the last thing I run is on my computer, which I don't have. Because hopefully it's sitting at home. Probably like Jerome Solomon's doing. He's probably sitting at home right now, just chilling. What's going on, Jerome?
I'm out and about. That's all right. My phone works better out and about than it does at home. So hopefully you can hear me.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Sorry.
It was almost as funny as AJ saying a little earlier that he had once had luscious head of hair.
There was a time, Jerome. Didn't you have hair at one point?
For verification of said lusciousness.
Did you not have hair at some point?
It was never luscious.
Oh, really? Man, my barber would be frustrated with me because my hair was so thick, and that didn't last.
Indeed.
Yeah, there was a time.
You guys should have saved that for the end of the segment because it would lead perfectly into what you can do to fix your hair.
Well, they ain't saving us. Jerome and I are beyond gone.
I don't think you are, actually, but that's okay.
Jerome, we've been talking, and the major story today is what makes a black movie versus what is just a regular movie? How much of the cast has to be black for it to be considered a black movie? What is your opinion?
Oh, it has to be half the cast, at least. Okay. More than half,
But
just the lead actor or something. It has to be more than half the cast.
So let me ask you about Star Wars. Is Star Wars a black movie?
Well, I've never seen Star Wars, but no.
Okay.
The only black guy is James Earl Jones, and you get to see him and Billy Dee, right?
Okay, what about Jumanji?
So that's two out of...
Jumanji has Kevin Hart and The Rock, who's half black. Is that a black movie?
No, because they have under like 5 or 6 characters in that movie.
There's too many white people?
Yeah.
New Jack City.
Yeah, there's not one black woman in it, so it cannot be a black movie. There's not a black woman and a black man in it.
Is New Jack City a black movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What about... This one is one that's been up for discussion today. What about Django? Django Unchained. Is it a black movie or a white movie?
That one is close, but you got to give that. You make that one a black movie because
the black guy is the hero.
Yeah, I was black, and there's a black.
Okay, now
because somebody suggested, and I thought it was a good suggestion. If 3 of the top 5 names on IMDb are black, that makes it a black movie.
That might do the trick.
Yeah, that's a good standard. I think.
Is Bad Boys a black movie?
Oh yeah, the two guys are black.
Yeah, I guess I just never looked at it as a black movie because
not only are the two guys black, the two guys were, they were young black guys in leading movies, which you don't get very often.
But you're right, but I guess because those two guys, when that movie came out, Martin Lawrence was a huge star and Will Smith was a huge star, like even to white people. And I say once you're a crossover.
No, they weren't huge stars. stars.
Will Smith certainly was.
Will Smith was, but he wasn't a movie star at all. So he was still coming into his own. And Martin Lawrence was just you may have known him, but most white people didn't.
I think a lot of white people watched Martin.
Were all black, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I just felt like that was a. I guess it didn't have the feel of a black movie, but maybe I mean I'm not trying to appropriate, so I'll step back.
Yeah, you can't claim Will Smith and Martin Lawrence as white guys.
Well, I'm not saying they're white guys, but doesn't it feel like at some point, black guys become such big stars that white people like them more than black people?
That's a deeper, different discussion. I could see that, but when Bad Boys came out, that was not the case.
Like Oprah, more white people like Oprah than black people.
Very much liked by black people.
You agree, Oprah? More white people like Oprah than black people?
No,
you don't think so?
I mean, more in number because there are more of you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But that's that would be for almost anybody. But percentage wise, no.
I don't know.
And we loved her first.
That's true. All right, I'll give it to you, Jerome. Do we consider J.J. Watt a black guy or a white guy? He's from Wisconsin. I feel like
right.
And he's got pale skin. I guess he's a white guy, right?
He's from Wisconsin.
Right, and I guess you guys are going to want
He's from Pewaukee.
And you're going to want Deshaun, I suppose, right?
We can't help it. His name is Deshaun.
All right, fine.
That's the end of discussion.
What was your takeaway from the game? Because it felt, I mean, it's obviously a playoff win is a great win, and we knew if they won, it was going to have to be an ugly game, an ugly win, and that's exactly what it was. Did you walk away from that game feeling better about the Texans' overall chances, the same or worse?
I'm pretty much the same, and I thought all along that if they show up to play, they could handle the Bills, and they showed up for the last 16 minutes or so and did an overtime in a way, too, that if they played the way they could play, I thought they could have handled it from the get-go. And their chances against the Chiefs are along those lines. So obviously, the Chiefs are significantly better than the Bills, and they're at home, but the Texans can beat this team. But they really have to play a clean game, and they have to play a good game, and they managed to play a mostly clean game against the Bills. They just didn't play a full, complete, good game, and they're capable of it. They're also capable of getting smoked. I mean, that's who they've been all season, and for people to doubt that they can do it is just you're reaching in a way because none of us know which one of the Texans teams is going to show up. There's really no way to know.
If the Texans team that showed up this weekend shows up next weekend, I mean, are we saying that there's not much chance for them, right?
I would say that, but they were down 17-3 in the first quarter against Kansas City last time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't roll that dice again. And there have been four times since the merger in, what is that, almost 50 years here of NFL football that a playoff team blew a 18-point lead or more. Two of those times, Andy Reid was coaching it. So, hey, anything is possible. If the Chiefs take a 2-touchdown lead, I'm pretty sure they're going to win. But you never know.
We talked all year about the slow starts and scoring one touchdown on their opening drive, and that was Week 17 with the backup quarterback. We saw it again in the playoff game. I mean, at what point do they have to try something completely different than what they're doing at the beginning of games? Because it's clearly not working.
It's incredible. I mean, I don't understand how Bill O'Brien is that outcoached or not have his team ready to go with the scheme that he's like, this is our best stuff. We know it's going to work. Let's get off to a good start. You know, he says that every week, and it doesn't work. You know, I mean, I don't understand it. And this week against the Bills, the adjustment they made at halftime was impressive because it was, you know, they went to something completely different. And it was a smart thing to do. It's just, well, why didn't you do it earlier, for one? And why didn't you go up-tempo a little bit? Why didn't you change what you were doing when you knew you were in some trouble? But more importantly, how do you not game plan and scheme and be much more prepared out of the gate over and over and over again against all teams, good, bad, home, road, it doesn't matter. They haven't been ready to get it done. It's shocking, frankly.
Well, and
even bad coaches can get off to a good start every now and then.
But we talked about it last week, and that, okay, you want to see Deshaun with design runs. You want to see him get outside the pocket. You want to see some bootlegs. You want to see some misdirection. And they did in the fourth quarter. And
right.
It seems silly to me that they don't try some of these things earlier in the game.
I get that during the regular season, but it was like he was acting like this was a regular season game, and he was trying to protect his quarterback from taking shots. Like, dude, this is playoffs. There's no protecting quarterback from taking shots now. You got to turn it all loose and put it all on the line. And Deshaun is ready to do that. You could tell. He's like, okay, forget this. I'm turning into, as I call him, the tuck and run Deshaun. You know, you drop back, and if the guy's not there, tuck and run. You got to move the chains, make it happen, and make those plays. And you'll open the defense up and be able to take some shots downfield if you do that.
Jerome Solomon is our guest, and you can hear him right here on ESPN 97.5 on Sunday mornings. You can also see him on Channel 2. How are the shows going, man?
Outstanding. It's been a lot of fun, man. We're killing it, doing well, and people are enjoying it. We're getting nothing but positive feedback. So check us out on Sunday night on Channel 2.
So would you consider your show a white person show or a black person show, since the star is black?
There's only two people on it. I'm tallest. And I'm the blackest, so it's a black
guy. All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon. All right. I know you guys don't think you can get your hair back, but maybe you should just talk to Dr. Linville, because guess what? You've always got hair on the back of your head, no matter how bald you get. And what Dr. Linville can do is go and use the NeoGraft procedure to take that hair off the back of your head and put it where you don't have hair. And it'll extract individual follicles. In my case, it was over 2,400 of them. And it's your own hair. And believe me, I was at that point where it's okay. It's either shave it and just go bald or get something done. And I went and looked at all kinds of different options, but none of them felt right, like hair plugs and things like that. Well, after talking to Dr. Linville, it's my hair. He just moved it from someplace where it already existed. And, man, it's growing out great. I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in a few months, because I'm just going to grow this stuff out long and rock star. And I can do that now because I have that kind of hair, thanks to Dr. Linville. And if you spend a few minutes talking to him, you'll be convinced, because guess what? You're going to take a look at his hair. He had it done, too, and it looks fantastic. So he's been through it, and he just wants to help, guys. 975hair.com to get your consultation just for the Blitzers. 975hair.com. Spend 5 minutes with him. You'll make the decision. Get your hair back now, 975hair.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. What do you want to get to now, since you've kind of taking the show in all kinds of weird directions today?
I mean,
I'm not complaining. I'm enjoying
sorry.
It. So
just, I didn't mean to get so deep into it.
No, I think it's great. Just, I'm kind of curious where you want to go next.
Let's see. Where else do we want to get to? We've kind of discussed the national championship. I don't know if we need to really say anything else until Friday.
Yeah, I agree.
Although I do feel like...
Shouldn't that have been last night, though? I mean, what? I don't understand the whole gap here. What the hell?
I'll be honest. If I were them, I feel... And I guess Monday's a good television night. But wouldn't you want to get on, I guess getting on the day after the playoffs is just as good. I feel like I'd want to get on like Thursday, where there's no NFL around me. You know what I mean? There's no NFL the day before or day after.
Well, I don't mind Monday night. I just don't know why it has to be next Monday night.
Why they had to wait an extra week. I don't know. Yeah, I guess last night would have made some sense too.
A couple people wondering if you have any thoughts on the Baylor Tech game tonight. I'm actually going to be watching that, I think.
I think it's a rock fight game. I think it's really hard to get points in. And I'm surprised because I've watched that number go up over the course of the day, and it's not the move I would have expected. I think it's an under game.
How good's Baylor?
They're pretty good. They're,
I know you really were high on them before the season.
So. Yeah, they're really good defensively, and they've gotten a lot better offensively. So I think they're really good. I just don't, you know, it's hard to tell what the Big 12 really is. I mean, there's Kansas and Baylor, and then there's a lot of tough stuff. I shouldn't say that. West Virginia's good. They're just, boy, they're tough to watch. And they held Oklahoma State to like 12 points last night, it felt like. I mean, it was just that's what we're seeing a lot in the Big 12 this year, is physical, slowed down play. And maybe that's how these teams are going to have to win. But Baylor can have some pop if they want to. And, you know, Tech is starting to round into form a little bit. They looked like they were just going to be totally lost without Jarrett Culver, but they've actually started to pick things up as the season's gone on. Should be a good game.
And you mentioned off air, but a bunch of people are asking. Apparently, Iran has launched missiles at the
Al-Assad air base in Iraq. Yeah, 13 rock. This is I can't confirm this. This is just what the news is saying. 13 missiles have hit Al-Assad Air Base in western Iraq. Reports of other targets, but they don't know how accurate the reports are at this time. So here's to not starting nuclear war is my hope.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had to expect something to happen, especially when you saw how many people turned out for that guy's funeral yesterday. But
I will say that, I mean, just like every country over there, there's a segment of the population that's loyal to the regime in charge, and then there's probably a bigger segment of people who really wish they weren't in charge. So
yeah, I'm sure they trotted out a bunch of...
The problem is all those people get blown up if blowing up starts to happen.
I think it's interesting that they attacked spots in Iraq where they don't have to worry about retaliation if they launch missiles into, say, our Saudi bases or Qatar.
Yeah.
It's a little different. So hopefully this keeps it from becoming a bigger deal. I mean, I hope it just kind of stays nice and, you know, hey, we did this, they responded, we rattle sabers a little bit and work it out. But, you know, hopefully it doesn't turn into, okay, you launch missiles at us, here's some missiles at you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just start lobbing missiles back and forth and civilians get whacked. I hope there's a way to solve all this without that. But I've hoped that before, and it never works. I don't want to see the world burn, man.
No.
I hope it doesn't go there. But we'll keep an eye on everything and let you know where it goes. Hey, can I give you an alien update?
Oh, please.
Are you familiar with Dr. Helen Patricia Sharman?
I'm not.
She's an astronaut.
Okay.
Which, interestingly enough,
Aaron's wife?
No, but his wife may know her. Well, she's English. She's an English astronaut, which I didn't even know England had astronauts. Didn't even know they had a space program. Apparently they do.
Okay.
According to the... Are you familiar with the Federation Aeronautique Internationale?
I am not, no.
Okay.
That's the good guys in Star Wars.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought that was the Star Trek good guys.
It's all the same.
Oh, okay. I get confused. Well, apparently...
Yeah, piss people off with black movies versus white
movies. Now you're going to get the nerds out. Star Trek and Star Wars aren't the same thing.
Not even close to the same thing.
Oh, boy. Apparently, there's only been 565 people who've gone into space.
That's a low number.
It is a low number. I think I've met four of them in my
really?
Life.
Really?
Yeah. I actually went to college with a guy who had been on the space shuttle, which was kind of cool. He was sort of a little celebrity at the college there when I was doing grad school at UH Clear Lake. I can't remember his name, but he was an astronaut.
We did a field trip to NASA it seems like every damn year when I was in elementary school. I think every elementary school in this area. This was back when field trips were a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know when that stopped, but now they happen like very rarely. Were you a field trip kid, Aaron? Did you guys still go
in elementary school? Yeah, we had one every year.
Yeah, so my kids barely go. I think it rarely happens, and I think my son wasn't allowed to go this year because he got in trouble for Googling inappropriate images at school.
Oh, I remember that.
But I remember going to NASA and meeting someone that had gone into space, And at the time, I thought it was really cool, but I just assumed that we always had people in space. You know, when you're a kid, that's kind of the way you think about it. You assume there's always astronauts going in and out of space pretty much all the time. And it seems like when I was a kid, we would always see rocket launches and landings on television. I never see space shuttles taking off or landing anymore, so I just assume there's no more astronauts going into space.
Well,
or they're secretive.
When I was growing up, like I vaguely remember some of the early Apollo missions and the guys being on the moon, because I was like 5 years old, 6 years old, and I remember it being a huge deal. And so, and then you know, and then I remember the Challenger was a huge thing because I was in school when that happened at Clear Lake. But yeah, so there's only been 565 people to go into space. Dr. Helen Patricia Sharman is one of them. She became Britain's first astronaut after she beat out nearly 13,000 other applicants to be part of a joint space mission by the Soviet Union and the UK, known as Project Juno, in 1991, which I didn't realize that. I also remember there was an Apollo-Soyuz thing where the U.S. and the Russians actually docked their ships together in space as a kind of goodwill thing.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. I had a model of that when I was a kid. But anyway, so she was in space. She was 27 years old at the time, so she's still relatively, well, she's older than me, but apparently she was asked about aliens from her trip to space.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what she said. Aliens exist. There's no two ways about it.
There's no two ways about it.
Then she kind of contradicts that because she says there's so many billions of stars out there. So there's probably billions of ways about it. But there must be all sorts of different forms of life. Okay, well, that's a speculative, right? And then she explained that they could very well be on Earth right now.
Okay.
Will they be like you and me, made up of carbon and nitrogen? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
It's possible they're here right now and we simply can't see them. Okay, I'm going to, if that's true, if you're an alien that I can't see, I'm going to do my usual thing. Man, let's go get drunk. Let's party. I want to hang with you.
Let's rage.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get nuts. Let's have some fun. If you're out there, alien, and you can't be seen, we'll be seen. I'm easy to find. Catch me somewhere in Edo.
Yeah.
All right.
Or at the Maple Leaf.
Or at the Maple Leaf, yeah.
Is it too far for you now?
I try to get there about once a month, but most of the time I'm on my side. I don't go out.
You paid for the hockey package, didn't you?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, kind of. Are you stealing the hockey
package? No, no.
Are you pirating?
No, I'm not pirating. I have it on my laptop along with everything else. I paid for it.
Okay.
I didn't pay full price. I got a nice little discount.
Oh, okay.
So
look at you. You're a pirate.
I'm not a pirate.
Kind of a pirate.
I'd like to be a space pirate.
You're a semi-pirate.
No, I'm not a pirate. I was given a discount code.
Okay.
And I used it. And so I paid for it. I just didn't pay full price.
All right, matey. Whatever you say.
It's like if I were pulled into a interrogation room, I would be perfectly fine.
Okay.
So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Now, I can't. I feel like such a jerk because I can't remember the name of that guy. I went to class with him.
I mean, come on, dude. He's like your best friend.
Oh, no, I mean, I just knew him. We were in... We had classes together.
Eskimo Bros.
No, nothing like that, but...
Be a whole lot cooler if you were.
Yeah, well, might be without knowing.
Yeah.
There is that, but no, I feel bad. If somebody who was at UH Clear Lake around the late
You mean
80s,
the Clear Lake Institution of Technology?
Yeah, if you can remember who that was, I'd like to hear it. Is that Larry on there?
Yes, Larry. Sports to you, Larry.
Sports.
Action.
I think Fiddler on the Roof was a black movie. I don't make a habit of betting first half, second half props, but I'm thinking about taking Kansas City in the first half, and here's my reasoning. And you mentioned it. the Texans have gone off to a slow start all the time, and I've complained about O'Brien, how he mimics Bill Belichick. He always defers, even when he wins the coin toss, he always defers to take the second half kickoff. And I would think when you have trouble scoring like the Texans have, you would want as many possessions in the first quarter to maximize your opportunities, maximize your possessions, instead of deferring. And so as long as he keeps doing that, I would take Kansas City in the first half. Want to get your thoughts. I know the Texans, when they beat them, they came from behind, but I don't know how realistic it is to expect them to come from behind, especially when Kansas City's defense is playing better than the first time they played them.
Yeah, I think it really boils down to the Texans are a slow-starting team, and they have been kind of all season. So if you are looking at a first-half side, I'd probably expect the Chiefs to get out in front again, because that's the way the Texans have played.
I like the thinking behind it. I probably... even more so like the first quarter.
Yeah.
And maybe even first quarter under, although I could see the Chiefs putting it on them a little bit early. Too.
Basically, my guess is, and I don't have the numbers up. I'll see if I can actually pull them up right now. But my guess is you're looking at about 6 points first half. I don't know if that's totally accurate, but I wouldn't expect it to be much lower than that. So, Westgate has it at 6. You can get, if you've got five dimes, it's 5.5. So, do you think the Chiefs are going to be up by a touchdown at halftime?
Story Musgrave was the guy's name.
Oh, there you go.
The astronaut. Yeah. I remember he had kind of a weird name. But, he was he got his master's in literature from the University of Houston Clear Lake in 87, which is when I was there working on my master's. So
Chiefs minus 3 for the first quarter. You like that?
I like that. What's the total?
Let's see. The total in the first quarter is 9.5.
Well, a little under that, I think. I like the Chiefs better. I feel better about that play.
First half total is 24, and then obviously the 51 is the game total.
Right. That's kind of a low first half total, but they obviously have accounted for the fact.
Yeah, they know the Texans start slow.
Yeah, Vegas knows what they're doing.
They're pretty good at this thing.
Space Ghost wants to know if I was around for the creation of the moon. That's not nice. Although ancient astronaut theorists suggest that the moon was created by aliens, and maybe I was around for that, and I just don't remember because I can't even remember where I put my laptop today.
That's true.
UH up 30-18 on Temple with 4:45 to go in the first half. Yeah, I didn't expect that.
I didn't either. I didn't expect they'd not win. I mean, it was a close call. I think the game was a one-point spread or something like that.
Yeah, it was.
I ended up looking away from it, although I leaned hard to Houston. They've been so good rebounding.
Yeah.
Particularly offensive rebounding.
And,
so.
Yeah, the one thing that they haven't quite figured out yet, and I think they're getting there, is who's going to be their go-to guy when they need it. And, yeah, I think it's going to be Caleb Mills in the end. But they've got three guys that they can go to in Hinton and Mills and Grimes. And I think at some point one of them is going to step up and be the guy. And when he does that, then when they've got that one guy that they can go to when nothing else is working,
yeah,
then I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yep.
But they're already pretty good. I mean, that winning that tournament in Hawaii, I think, was a big deal.
It was.
Because, yeah, they hadn't done anything yet to make me think that they were going to be a tournament team until then, but I also knew they would be better now than they were at the beginning of the year, and that's. But Kelvin Sampson is so good, and I'm kind of curious to see when Buzz Williams gets some players at A&M, how his teams will kind of be the same way. They'll be better in January and February than they are at the beginning of the year, and you know that's there's some coaches that just are really good at that, and Kelvin certainly is, and he's molding this team really well. Now last year's was good from the beginning because they had all those seniors, but. I'm excited about them. I haven't had a chance to get out to a game yet, but I'm going to.
It still blows my mind that Texas A&M, a Buzz Williams team, is 353rd in 3-point percentage. Yeah, I mean, that's just
yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing Buzz never in a million years thought he would have the worst out of 353 3-point shooting team in the whole country. That's pretty unbelievable. Should be a good game with him and Ole Miss tonight.
Yeah, yeah, right here on our station.
Yeah.
Coverage starts at 7:30, or does coverage start at 7? Games at 7:30. Okay.
Coverage starts at 7:30, games at 8.
Okay, perfect. Ty on the Twitch channel says, the Texans have taken the lead into the half 4 times all year. That includes the Bills game last week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I like where your mind is, Larry, on that first half and Chiefs first half. So, all right. I guess one segment left. We managed to survive laptop gate. At least I managed to survive.
Yeah.
It. Thanks to Aaron. Haven't been on Twitter as much as I'd like during the show, but that's okay. I didn't want to get my Twitter sign on here. Not really comfortable with you having my Gmail sign on.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, I appreciate you letting me use it. So
I'm pretty sure that when you set up a guest thing on a Mac, it immediately erases the second you shut it down.
Yeah,
and in order for him to log back in, it completely reboots.
Yeah, it's because it.
He's just trying to steal your information, Fred. Don't trust him.
Yeah, you and whoever it was from New York who cleaned out my bank account.
Yeah. That's probably Bob. Aaron.
If there's an article on SportsMap later about why Aaron is the best radio producer ever in the history of the world, it was not me. Uh-huh. I think Josh is just a huge fan.
Probably. Maybe Josh could be the Penguin.
Ooh, that's a thought.
He's not a bad Penguin.
Yeah. I think him more as Scarecrow, though. He's got some Scarecrow in him.
Yeah. Maybe so. What about Lance Zierlein as a Penguin?
Lance is too big to be a Penguin.
Yeah.
I think anybody over 6'2 can't be Penguin. Sorry.
Yeah, you're probably right.
All right. We'll figure it out.
Ken Hoffman's the Penguin. No?
No, it doesn't work for me.
All right.
I think if we were casting Curb Your Enthusiasm, then we'd have a spot for Ken. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Hey, guys, I have to tell you about MyBadExperience.com. If you've had a problem with a business, a contractor, or anything, and you've lost time, money, or worse, your sanity while working with that business that gave you a bad experience, well, visit MyBadExperience.com. And, guys, this is there's no fake stars or ratings. There's no ads. This is not a troll site. Everything's verified, and you can make businesses accountable. For just $4.99, you can tell all. And maybe even reach a resolution with the business. I mean, that's the idea. And get them to compensate you for your loss of hard-earned money. Visit mybadexperience.com. Warn others about bad businesses before it's too late. And maybe it's something you had with a plumber. Maybe it's something you had with a contractor at your house, and they didn't get it right, and they won't do anything about it. Well, mybadexperience.com is a paid review, which makes it a legit review. So you can help stop bad business practices at mybadexperience.com. That's mybadexperience.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. I don't know if you guys have enjoyed it, but I've enjoyed this show. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Not that sportsy, which is Tuesday. We don't need to be sportsy. All right. I do have a sportsy Hey Man Bleep That, though.
All right.
Kind of. So I will go first. As you know, the World Junior Hockey Championship, kind of a big thing in my household. The wife and Canadians love this thing, right? It's a big deal. Russia, too. I mean, it's around the rest of the world, it's a major, major tournament. Well, there was a great game for the championship. Canada beats Russia 4-3, comes back from down 3-1 in the third period. However, there were two places in Russia showing the game. Channel 1, which was showing the real game, and a channel called Match TV. On this game, they were showing a 9-year-old Russian 5-3 win. So half the population starts celebrating that they've won the gold. And my favorite story is Yana Tarasenko, who's the wife of St. Louis Blues forward Vladimir Tarasenko, posted on Instagram that her husband watched the 2011 game for 10 minutes in the belief it was live until he saw himself in the game. And then he realized it was a replay because he was on the winning rushing team in 2011. It obviously caused a lot of confusion, and Match TV had shown some of the live games earlier in the tournament, but apparently they didn't have the rights, so they decided they would show the 2011 Russian victory. If you're a fan of a sports team and you get caught up in something like that, to that I say, hey, man, f*** that.
I don't particularly love going to the dentist. I don't know if you're a dentist guy or not.
No one's a dentist guy. I have a great dentist, finally. I still hate going.
There's a lawsuit now against a dentist. The lawsuit alleges the girl's parents took her to Dr. Deep Dillon, his practice, to have several crowns
put on. That sounds like a porn star.
The girl was placed under anesthesia for procedure, during which Dillon used a tool called a diamond burr. It's a tool that's used to grind away hard tissue, typically a tooth's enamel. And during the girl's procedure, the tool emitted a spark that caused the throat pack in the girl's mouth to ignite and produce a fire that lasted a couple of seconds. She was rushed to University Medical Center, where she remained for 4 days as she was treated for burns to the inside of her mouth, which anybody who's ever eaten a Hot Pocket straight out of the microwave, yeah, you've known exactly what this feels like. But 4 days in the hospital to treat burns after a dental visit? Here's the craziest part. What do you think the lawsuit's for? How much?
Oh, $300,000?
$15,000.
Really?
I would have gone way harder. I would have called Lawyer Dave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That makes me not want to go to the dentist. To that, I say, hey, man, that.
Police in Somerset, Massachusetts, recently arrested a palm reader, and she was charged with obtaining property over $250 and larceny. And it's because she tricked one of her clients into forking over about $71,000. So,
dude, I'm going to pay $10 like it says on the sign outside, get drunk and go in there for that.
Yeah. Apparently, police now want people, if she has tricked anybody else in Somerset, Massachusetts, to come forward so they can charge her with more. She stole approximately $71,000 from the victim, and the victim additionally purchased multiple household items from her, like towels and bedding. If you're going to a palm reader in 2020 or 2019 at the time, don't go to one. I mean, she's not a bad looking, you know, she's 37. Go to the ones in New Orleans with a humpback and the wart on the nose and everything that talk like this the whole time, like you're going to die. Don't go to a girl who looks like she just didn't really want to work, so she put palm reader outside of her house. Hey, man, fuck that.
This is the work of gypsies. Yeah, if she read my palm, it'd be real easy. It's like, I know what you're using that hand for, sir.
You're an excessive masturbator, Mr. Fowler.
Exactly. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Hopefully I've got a computer at home when I get there.
What's your worry level?
I'm still at 5. Never really got above that.
I'm worried anxious about this gas station trip.
I was in there for 30 seconds. I said I had it locked, and it was right out front. And like I said, who would take... not just take the whole bag, because you know what's in it.
A supervillain.
A supervillain would have to have... it wouldn't have had time, man. I was in there for... not even 20 seconds. Man. But I always lock the door. That's one thing I'm very careful about. I do the double thing so that the...
you make it honk.
Yeah. All right. Great job, Aaron. Really great job, because you let me borrow your computer.
Save the day.
And made me feel less like a slug. Great job, Hoffman. I battled through it. We'll do it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sports, you bitches. All right.